from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
All right, so the Memphis Grizzlies will open the season, kind of as is tradition, on the road. They will open up on Wednesday night. They play at Utah. They will then travel to Houston on Friday, the home opener. For those that are curious, what is the home opener? Steve, this is something that may not apply to the rest of the country, but it does kind of apply down here in the South. The Memphis Grizzlies will have their home opener on Saturday night, October the 26th. They will take on Orlando. Now, to the best of my ability, let's see. The Memphis Tigers will play Charlotte on that Saturday. I do not believe Tennessee has a game. Ole Miss plays Oklahoma that weekend. Those are kind of the big ones that impact crowds and whatnot. The Grizzlies during college football season don't love Saturday home games for obvious reasons if it's a ticket business. But the Grizzlies will indeed open up on a Saturday night in October.
So, is the league saying, you know what, you're getting Ja Morant back, we're gonna take the gamble that it's a full house?
I think what the league's saying is, hey y'all, there's 30 teams and we got to get 82 games in and we got to figure this out. The Grizzlies, I'm looking through, so they have that October 26th game. They do have a Saturday night game the following week, but it's at Philly. No Saturday game the next 2 weeks. Another Saturday game, but again, at Chicago. And then they have the Black Friday New Orleans game, but no Saturday game during whatever's traditionally rivalry week. And then on the 14th, that will be the NBA Cup semifinal. So really, I think what the league said is, hey, we can't give you zero, but it seems to me that they tried to give them, it seems to me that the league did their best they could and tried to only give them one during what would be peak football season.
So where were the Grizzlies when it came to that last team cut? You know, like we say, the last four in, the last four out. Where were the Grizzlies when it was in consideration of, do we or don't we put them on Christmas Day?
So they had 2 years ago, they did have the Christmas Day game. Last year, they did not. Ja, I think, technically would have been back, but I think there was kind of like a double secret, like, we're going to make you think about this. I think the problem that the Grizzlies fell into is, in the NBA, I really feel like more so than any other sport that we see, it is the ultimate what's the last thing we've seen league. You know, what have you done for me lately?
Right.
And the Grizzlies were just so bad. Not only were the Grizzlies bad last year, because of the amount of injuries that they had and the number of players that they went through, they set a league record for number of roster spots. They were boring and bad. And so they were just completely out of sight, out of mind. And I think the other problem is Christmas Day games. It felt like some of the matchups were kind of already kind of predetermined. And that was the other thing I wanted to discuss as we move into kind of the big picture thing before we get away from the Grizzlies. It feels like to me, because this rookie class is largely kind of, you know, the 1 and 2 picks are French guys that nobody's really seen. Reed Sheppard could be an exciting young player. Obviously, the Grizzlies are excited about Zach Edey. But because the rookie class doesn't have, like, massive star quality, I wonder if the league is just going to milk LeBron, Steph, KD, like the late stages of all of them. And, yeah, just ride that. You know, they're going to be Mike Gundy with Ollie Gordon, just handing them the ball as much as they can. That would be my suspicion.
I don't have anything left in me. One more.
Come on. It's only third down. It's third and short. You don't have to get that far. And once you get the first down, get down. So the other, let's see, I cite Grizzlies pre- and post-game host as well as sideline reporter Rob Fisher for his fantastic breakdown. The Grizzlies will have 15 back-to-backs. 6 will be home and home back-to-backs. 4 will be road back-to-backs. 2 come in the month of October. The teams that they will play twice, I believe. Let's see. The longest road trip will be 5 games, which I think last year it was 4, and also that 5-game trip is split up by the All-Star break. The longest homestand is indeed 5 games. In terms of national TV, and Steve, I don't know how you feel. I have a general rule. I don't count NBA TV. To me, it's got to be ESPN, TNT, ABC. It's got to be one of the big-time media. I just don't count NBA TV.
I'm not going to say it's in the same category as True TV come tournament time, yeah, but it's down there. I never really see that as an option, and rarely. And, you know, I mean, it's got to be, you know, maybe a Saturday night matchup that, you know, okay, it's over there. I got to go over there and find it. But if that's, I don't know why. It becomes almost a chore to find it. And yeah, I mean, nowadays I can just talk into my TV. But I'm 100% with you.
There's something also like, yes, I know that there's a shortcut. But there's something about, you know, actually seeing it through to the end. Finding it on your own. Like, I'm going to do this. Like, you actually feel like a hero. Like, you actually accomplished something by just finding a channel. I'm with you. I think the other thing that's interesting to me is, I'm very curious what the future of the not only NBA TV, but we've seen like NFL Network has clearly downsized their operation. It seems like the leagues thought when they launched these networks that it was going to be a massive revenue stream. And then they figured out kind of during the last TV deals, like those operations are highly expensive. Just sell some games to, you know, sell some playoff games and you'll make more money that way. And you're not subsidizing. I would be surprised if NBA TV lasts beyond this next deal, especially if Turner ends up, because NBA TV is largely a Turner operation. I'd be surprised if both like last. Now, I have actually enjoyed, especially what NFL Network has become. NFL Network's actually what I've always wanted it to be. Whereas now, if you flip on NFL Network during the season, you know, during the afternoon, it's just old games. And I'm like, yes, give me the. You have the greatest library in terms of game inventory. Just show us that. And NBA TV's kind of been doing the same thing. But I suspect that those channels are not long for this earth.
And right along with the, you know, the regional sports, yes, networks too. But what comes to mind for me is I think baseball was the last to the table to launch the MLB Network.
Yep.
And you didn't even mention that you know, they could turn the lights out on that. And they could. I mean, where baseball's come from, again, another former employee of MLB Advanced Media, you know, they were they were running parallel for a while. Then all of a sudden they said, no, we're going to do everything over here in New Jersey. And everything's all encompassing on MLB Network. And you made the point of, you know, hey, I can put on the NFL Network and their old games on there. MLB Network, to me, doesn't do enough of that in their offseason, where it's like, you know, oh, okay, here's a complete run of October and postseason baseball. Well, we just watched that. Give me something. You know, they've done Larson's perfect game in the World Series and different things like that, and I like it. But MLB, I mean, just in terms of, you know, they still have Vaz Gurjan. They still have their shows that are, you know, you go there, you know, the news comes down, you're going there. And I think that's a big part of it, too. Like you said, of, you know, not skeleton crew, but pretty close to it.
Yeah.
That never became the go-to place. Okay, there's news. Where are you going? Well, now we're just going to Twitter.
Yep.
X. You know, and then we go from there. We're not hitting the TV, and even ESPN has felt that of that's not your go-to destination anymore. And I don't know that the networks were ever there.
No, and I it's also like we were talking about yesterday with FedEx Forum, where FedEx Forum was built at a time that was probably not great to build an arena because it became the model became outdated so quickly. I think if you think back to when those channels launched, we were still very much in a linear cable satellite era, and everyone was just trying to get into as many households as possible, get revenue up that way. Well, lo and behold, you know, people start cutting the cord, and the model of you know, getting revenue that way was quickly outdated. I always just thought, and you know, maybe this is me being pie in the sky, not knowing what I'm talking about, but I always thought those channels did a disservice, because I think back to what ESPN meant to me in my youth. It was very formative for me on understanding the history of sports. And, you know, you would learn about these great games and these great players, and it taught you kind of the history. It's like guys that I'd never seen play, like I kind of had an understanding of their career. Whereas it felt like so quickly everybody was trying to use their channel as either a place to have games, which, okay, I get that, but they were trying to make it like an exclusive place. Like you're going to sign up for this so that you can watch, you know, one game every 6 weeks. Or they were using it to like kind of drive conversation with opinion makers. And it's like, to me, like that entire model just got outdated quickly. It's like, if you just, I think they, you know, when you think about how easy it is to, when you have that library, to like put things together to tell us about, you know, the significance of certain people and important moments. Like, I thought they could have really done a better job of teaching like the history of their game, which allegedly you're supposed to be proud of, correct? I mean, if you're the NFL, you're supposed to be proud of the NFL. If you're Major League Baseball, you're supposed to be proud of Major League Baseball. Not that every league doesn't have its flaws and moments of, you know, being on the wrong side of history, however you want to phrase it. But it's like, they could have, it seems to me that those programs are very cheap to make, and you could have easily used it as like a service of, oh, I never knew about this guy, now I do.
So, present day history is last week, and that's far as people are willing to go back.
Maybe 10 minutes ago.
And yeah, and so last night, this just popped into my head of last night, somebody who I follow on X, and he writes for FanGraphs, and I really like following him, and you know, he's almost my version of Bill Simmons for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Not that he's Bill Simmons. It's a very light comparison, but he's just a guy that I enjoy. So he tweeted out last night of, you know, hey, I'm listening to a major league broadcast here. They're talking about Brooks Robinson and all these great plays that he made in the 1960 World Series against the Mets. He goes, I think the guy has it wrong. And he did. Those great plays were against the Reds on the turf in Cincinnati, either a couple of years later. And, you know, again, the history reference was just wrong. And you know who I absolutely just lambasted because he always gets history wrong? Like, and then, you know, when and it's almost dangerous when some people want to reflect back. Chris Russo from SiriusXM.
Well, Mad Dog did kill Billy Bean, GM of the A's last week.
Of course he did. Right.
Well, yeah. Mad Dog kind of, to your point though, it's not quite to the level. Like, Barkley has, in my opinion, the single greatest gig in all of our business, because not only do we not expect him to not get things right, we almost kind of enjoy it. Mad Dog kind of falls into that same category where it's like kind of sort of part of his charm. It's not to the level of Barkley, but I'm always insanely jealous of those people, because if I say one name wrong, my Twitter just lights up. And
right.
It's like,
right.
It's like, guys, if you talk as much as I do, you eventually have a slip up. Like, but right. the, like, I wish I could have that ability to not have to be accurate.
No, I think it's insulting to the audience. You know,
oh,
and Barkley,
for sure.
You know, he, right? I mean, it's just absolutely insulting to the audience. And, you know, he comes out yesterday and says, you know, hey, I left a lot of money on the table. And one of the quotes that I read in a newspaper, well, online newspaper, was basically saying, you know, hey, if I had gone and take that money elsewhere, they were actually going to expect me to work. And, you know, and do more than I do here. And, you know, that was part of it, too.
Oh, there's a huge... I mean, now, no, I also think Charles is negotiating. I've followed that story very closely, and I think I've noticed a pattern. Charles has been publicly negotiating, and he's been hypercritical of Turner and Warner Brothers Discovery. If you notice, though, there was this stark change in tone the last 2 weeks. And to me, I think what has happened is either Charles's agent or some executive got a hold of him and said, hey, man, we need you to act like you're going to come back and that you're in this for real, because we're losing the NBA, but we need them to cut us as big of a check as possible, and that's going to take care of everyone. I will be stunned if Charles Barkley is on the TNT NHL pregame. I just don't foresee that world actually existing. This feels very much like a posturing where Warner Brothers needs everyone to think that they're still going on business as usual, but in reality, like that's gonna allow them more leverage and some type of buyout.
I stopped listening to Charles Barkley a long time ago. I understand it. You're paying him. He's gonna be, you know, when they put the whole crew, and Ernie Johnson is a pro, but when they put Charles Barkley in the NCAA tournament, it was just like I don't want to be here. I don't want to be in this space. And, you know, if that point in time I came to reality that I'm the old guy, that was fine. Because there were so many other people worthy of opportunities to talk college basketball intelligently, and he just wasn't going to do it. He it was sort of insulting of like, you know, there are times when you knew that you knew more, you know, and you get that too. I've done SEC baseball. I was never going to know. And I was told early on, look, you're not going to know every single baseball. You're not going to know every storyline. You're not going to do this. You're going to be on you're going to be on the SEC network. You're going to blanket it. But I would just get absolutely killed by, you know, you're not doing your homework. I'm like, yeah, I am. I just don't know enough about your team. College basketball, I knew you knew more about the teams than Charles Barkley was ever going to need, even though he had so much more information available to him.
I think,
and to me, it was just coasting.
The question, though, is that our fault or is that his fault? Or is that an exact, you know what I mean? Like, in the end, someone has made a decision that he's worth it. So is it,
it's the decision maker's fault who tells him afterwards, hey, you did a great job.
That's probably fair.
Because at that point, you're just telling him, you know, yeah, we accept your mediocrity. We accept that you're just cruising. Now, from the basketball perspective, he can get it. But when he's talking about that, you know, number 16 seed, and, you know, he's got one note on him, and he's probably mispronouncing the coach's name, and he's doing this wrong, and, you know, he doesn't know the mascot and all these different things. I mean, they make fun of it. They spend segments on it making fun of what he doesn't know about your number 15 seed. Your school has gotten there.
It's,
you know, I had the Coastal Carolina Chanticleers in my first ever baseball regional for ESPN, and my partner kept... I was getting the blame, but my partner kept saying the name wrong.
Oh, God.
So it was the broadcast fault.
They played Pepperdine. Oh, my spring break, my junior year. And I remember, like, having to sheepishly go down to, because they didn't even send their SID. And I'm, like, just trying to find, I was, like, trying to find an assistant coach that wasn't doing anything to, like, actually tell me. And I just remember, like, oh, God. And they're like writing down phonetically how to say it, because Chanticleers is not exactly one that, it doesn't exactly read like it sounds.
And the Chants of like the nickname for the nickname, I don't have a New York accent, but I do sort of. And that one was coming out weird for me. So I was staying away from it. So I was trying to say it crystal clear every single time. But again, you know, you want that information, but you're up against, down south. I've never lived that life. I've never lived the life where you grew up, and you grew up on it. And I respect it, but I always prepped, and I always prided myself on the prep. And I knew the coaches, I had their respect for games that I did. Because, hey, I was up on things. And, I would drop a name for somebody and say, hey, so-and-so told me this about you. And that would give me a little credibility. So I would get through the broadcast. But, in that world of, like, as you said earlier, you get that one syllable. You said ah instead of
yeah,
you get killed.
Louisville. And, Louisville.
Yes.
Louisville. God. And the reality
you
is,
you know how many times I've watched that video and I'm still confused by it?
Oh,
there are videos out there of, how do you pronounce it? And I'm like, I stay clear of that one as possible.
There was another great one. Where Ole Miss is located is Lafayette County, and it reads like Lafayette. And I was like, oh, somebody with a Lafayette County tag. And all my California friends are like, you think that's how that word's phrased? I was like, no, trust me, I'm right, you're wrong. I know that looks like Lafayette, but it's not.
Right.
It's Lafayette. It's all the Southernisms.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.